right, greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 100, coming to you from the Pine Room Studios in very interesting downtown Wheeling here today. We got chaos going on out on the streets, accidents and construction and just mass chaos, people all over the place. It's a mess out there, not to mention it's hotter than hell, and it's good to be inside. So we're going to enjoy the next couple of minutes here on Better's Last Dance show number 100 here. And thanks to our friends that will be joining us during the middle hour of the show, which actually is going to be only be the second hour of the show, because it's all we're going to have today is a two-part show, as Sam is unable to join us again this week. Unfortunately for him, he's got work things going on, so he's not able to make it. But we'll get any plays from him for the weekend. So we got two segments here that we're going to do on show 100. And again, this is our special day, a day of remembrance, actually, as we take this on 9/11. Obviously, thoughts and prayers to anybody who was affected by that. And our country continues to still be affected by it. So just always try to be cognizant of that on this day. So we're going to try to make the best of it here and try to give you some winners as we head into the weekend. And we did okay last week, recapping us on our 99th show, what we gave out last week. We were up over 10 units, had some tennis winners, had some AFL winners. We'll go through those here in a moment. College football, just mediocre. Started out pretty good and then faltered. Same with NFL. NFL started out really hot for us, but then some tough breaks, which we'll talk about later in the show. So let me remind you what's going on here today. It's Better's Last Stand, show 100. We've been putting the second segment of the show on the Watchdog Network, so you can check that out, watchdognetwork.com, in the 5 o'clock hour on Fridays, our Football Friday show, which begins with Bear and Bob at noon, the good old boys on sports. They'll be talking all football from noon to 2, and then it's us. We'll be out at Gumby's in Elm Grove, and it's 2 to 5 for us now on Fridays. And then the Better's Last Stand, the middle hour of Better's Last Stand, or the second hour, however we have it broke down for that week, will be on the Watchdog Network. So you can follow that, watchdognetwork.com or WKKX or WVLY on your radio dial. So we'll talk betting on that part of the Football Friday show, and then it's into our pregame show. We got three games again this weekend. Yes, three games. We'll have Wheeling Central hosting Williamstown over at Bishop Schmidt Stadium, or Bishop Schmidt Field, I think it is, over on the campus of Wheeling University. And then it's Wheeling Park on the road. They'll be on WVLY. They will be at Musselman, a 7 o'clock kick there. Wheeling Central, a 7 o'clock kick on WKKX. And then on WatchdogNetwork.com, it will be Cameron and St. Mary's. Yes, that's an add-on game. Normally, those guys, Ross, Coach Heinerman, and Coach Treveri, do the John Marshall games. This week, they are going to bring us a very good game, Cameron and St. Mary's. So that one will be on, I believe it's 7 as well. That'll be on WatchdogNetwork.com. So we got good stuff ahead on the Watchdog, so stick with us on the Watchdog. Flip over there now if you're listening to the podcast in this time period of Football Fridays. Flip on over there as soon as you're done with the first segment, and then you can hear the second segment at 5 o'clock right on the radio, WKKX, Watchdog, WVOY. So happy to be here again, show number 100. Let's recap the week. We were up over 10 units, 10.10, so about $10.10 if you break it down to a dollar, or $1,000 and 10, $1,010 that would be exact. CFL, 2-2 on the week. AFL, we were 3-2, lost one by a half there on a total. It stings a little bit. Tennis, 3-0. We've been a little bit hot in tennis recently. College football, as I said, mediocre, 7-7. Best bet again, Cincinnati comes up short, blows a huge lead to Pitt in an absolute debacle. Don't score in the fourth quarter. I didn't have that on the bad beats recap, but it probably could have definitely went there. Terrible loss if you had Cincinnati, minus the points, minus the money line, minus the alternate spreads. They were in total control of the game. I had a winner marked by it, and it all went sideways right around the time Notre Dame was falling apart against Northern Illinois, although they were never together, so they didn't really fall apart. 8-6 in the NFL with our best bet, the New England Patriots, winning outright. You heard it here. I've been telling you that for the last 3 weeks. I've been talking about it on the Watchdog Network as well. But I'll tell you when I'm wrong just as many times as I'll tell you when I'm right. But when you're wrong, most of the time the masses beat up on you. Or when you're right, most of the time the masses are beating up on you prior to being right, because you're going against the grain, usually something that's obscure, something that no one else really thought about. But to me, it was pretty clear. I kept waiting for the Bengals to kick it in a little bit and win the game still because they're very lucky in that regard, but they never did. And we'll talk about that when we run down the NFL card later in the program. That portion of the Bettors Last Stand will be on the Watchdog Network. So anyway, 8-6 with a best bet winner with the New England Patriots, not just covering the 8, not just covering the 8.5, not covering 7, winning the game outright, controlling the game from the very beginning, and outplaying the Bengals in every facet of the game. Coaching, quarterback play, anything you can imagine, they outplayed the Bengals. All right, moving along. Tennis futures, we cashed several. Aryna Sabalenka gets the job done, as we said she would. She's just too damn powerful on these fast courts, and she's just exceptional. Her game continues to improve. Her mental game continues to improve, and she is basically, to me, right now, I'm not going to say she's unbeatable because anybody can lose at any time, but she is the closest thing to a lock to at least win her quarter in any fast court, hard court surface. Australia, U.S. Open, she is going to be the one. I mean, if you're getting her at 3 and 4 to 1, people are betting Swiatek down at plus 160 on clay. So why wouldn't you bet Sabalenka? She is an absolute beast on these hard courts, and it shows. She's just tremendous. She's far and away the best player, and it's not even close. Swiatek crashes out, as we told you she would. She can't handle the speed of a fast court or a hard court. Jesse Pegula gives a good effort, but she's just not going to be able to beat Sabalenka, 9 out of 10 times. Coco Gauff, one of the only few that can, and I'm not certain that that'll happen again, though, because Sabalenka has continued to improve while Gauff seems to have leveled off a little bit, maybe even regressed a little bit. Her athleticism, obviously, kind of can level the playing field, but Sabalenka, far and away the best bet you could have had there. We had her to win the quarter, the half, and to win the tournament. So a great, great performance there. Karolina Mukova, who got beat in the semifinals. I was very surprised at that. I thought she would win that match. 1-6-1 in the first set, and then kind of uncharacteristically started to make a lot of errors. I don't know if she got tired or what. She had been out of action for a long time coming back. So she may have kind of hit the fatigue wall a little. I'm not making excuses for her, but great, another great player, just a tremendous all-around technique player, just super good. Love watching her play. She is must-watch television. But she wins her quarter, so we cashed that one. And then Daniil Medvedev, he won his quarter, made it to the semifinals. No, maybe it was the quarters. Yeah, he won his quarter. But a good performance by Medvedev. It sucks that he had to run into Sinner. So I know that's the way it's going to go. Medvedev, I thought, battled back to even the score at one set apiece, and then he just kind of hit the wall. So not his best, but still a lot of promise there. So he hit, 5 tennis bets there future-wise, so we're happy about that. Austin Cindric, a top 10 at Atlanta, and once again, NASCAR is chaos. We'll talk about that here in this segment about the results in Atlanta, and we have both open wheel circuits back on the card this week. AFL outrights, we got some of them live right now to win the grand final. Geelong absolutely thrashed Port Adelaide last week. Absolutely smashed them from the very beginning. And the Cats look very, very strong. And then Brisbane, the Lions got the job done. We told you they had the easiest matchup. They didn't even play their best at all. Matter of fact, they probably held back a little bit. So the Lions roll along. We have Geelong at 8-1, and we have the Brisbane Lions at 7-1 on future tickets. Of course, we still have Port Adelaide alive as well at 6-1. Now you're better off betting them again. Now it's 16-1. So we will talk about those in the football portion of the program. That will be on the Watchdog. You'll have football of all kinds, the round footballs, the not-so pigskin footballs, the Canadian footballs, the Aussie footballs, and, of course, everybody's favorite, North American football that's not in Canada. South North American football. I guess it's not super south because that would be soccer again. So Central North American football that everybody loves except for me. All right, let's talk a little baseball as we head into the final few weeks of the regular season. Some teams making it one last push. A couple teams I had dead and buried last week. Maybe a small hint of a pulse. Red Sox, Mariners, Giants, that's a stretch. They better keep the paddles on the Giants. But those teams all got it. I think the Giants ended up getting to 5, which they were, I think, 7 or 8 out last week. Red Sox and Mariners had it to 3.5. Since have slid back a little. I think they're out 4 now. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but not impossible. So we give them a small chance And we will hope for the best with some of those bets that we gave out a while ago. Worst money line records in baseball right now. So ROI, these are the worst teams. If you bet the Chicago White Sox this year, if you bet $100 a game on them, you would be down $6,138. Yes, $6,138. Atlanta Braves, if you bet them $100 every single game this year, you'd be down $2,436. The Miami Marlins, you'd be down $1,743. The Seattle Mariners, $1,731. And a Toronto Blue Jays, $1,540. So those have been teams you could say. Atlanta, obviously injuries. Marlins have been terrible since the very beginning of the season. The White Sox have been terrible since the very beginning of the season. Seattle just can't get any traction. They tried, but they just can't get any traction. And then they have Toronto, who's been a disaster all season. So you can look at the ROIs, and you can see some of the most disappointing teams in MLB baseball this year. Some World Series exactas. This is a time of year. Started talking about them last month, probably, about the Padres and the Mariners, ready to trade deadline. Start looking ahead at some potential matchups that you think you could see in the World Series. You can get great value on these. Put them together. You don't need to worry about who wins the World Series. Worry about, it's easier to pick the two participants to me than it is to figure out who's going to actually go out and win it. If you can get both participants in the World Series, to me, that is a spot that you should be getting paid. So if you figure it out, don't wait for the Astros to have to win, or the Dodgers, or whoever you're going to bet. Don't make them have to win another layer of playoffs. Get out of the pennant each side, match them up. You don't even have to pick the winner. Just exacta. They're exacta boxes, basically. The AL pennant winner and the NL pennant winner. And I think there's a lot of value to be found in that. And I like betting them. So a couple that I took a look at here that I thought were interesting prices. Padres and Astros. Got the Padres at 7. You got the Astros about 3.5, 4. Can get that matchup. Will pay 35-1. Padres and the Indians, 41-1. Padres and the Royals, 83-1. Diamondbacks and Astros, 49-1. Diamondbacks and Indians, 57-1. Diamondbacks and Royals, 115-1. Milwaukee and the Astros, 35-1. Milwaukee and Cleveland, 41-1. See, to me, none of those seem ridiculous, but you eliminate the Yankees, you eliminate the Dodgers, you eliminate the Phillies, you eliminate the Orioles. If you gave me the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Yankees, and the Orioles, those four teams in a group, and you said you get those four teams, one of those four teams wins the World Series, or you'll take the field, I will take the field. I really, truly feel a lot better about the Padres, the Astros, and honestly, even Cleveland, and to a degree, the Diamondbacks. These teams, to me, are a little bit more dangerous than the front runners, and you're getting much better prices. The New York Yankees are not winning the World Series. They would have to have some act of God to sort out their bullpen, to get their starters to be better, and to have somebody else hitting that lineup. I'm sorry, but when the playoffs come, these guys are going to work around them. And if the other guys beat them, then so be it. But you're not going to see smart managed teams pitching to Judge and Soto. There's nobody else in that lineup right now who can hurt you. Orioles pitching staff is a mess. They don't have enough starting pitching right now. Even their ace, Burns, is a mess. He can't barely get out of a third inning. He gives up runs in the first every single game. And I want the Orioles to win really, really bad. But they screwed up. They did a very poor job of addressing problems in the offseason. I know they were banking on Kimbrel being better than he was, but how could you make that guess? Bautista will be back next year. It's all in from the Orioles next year. If they do not win the World Series next year, I fear that they are wasting their window. And it's been kind of a waste this year. They've not had a lot of consistency outside of Gunnar Henderson and Anthony Santander. So as much as I want to be wrong about that, I just can't bet the Orioles at that price. They're just too short. And the Yankees are even shorter than that. It makes no sense to me. And then in the National League, Dodgers, they got a lineup that's really good, obviously. They're going to be tough to get out. Whenever you have Ohtani, it's going to be tough. And you got Freeman and you got Betts. But do they have the pitching? Can they, with a bye, if they get that bye, can they, or even the Phillies, be able to recapture their magic while the other teams are all playing hot, who have won a previous series and are now moving on to play them? We've seen it happen. It was the last couple of years. Orioles last year got caught flat-footed. So did the Dodgers. So that can happen. And I just don't think there's any value in taking those teams because of that the way that the playoffs are aligned. So check out those World Series exactas. I think they're worth your time. Golf, not going to do much golf until the springtime. The Irish Open's this week. Rory McIlroy, 5-1 favorite. Not a great field. Just a lot of Irish guys and European Tour guys. Pro Corps is another wraparound tournament. Sahith Theegala is the favorite there. He's 12-1. Again, weak field. Corey Connors, a couple other guys. I mean, you'll know. Maybe everyday golf fans will know these guys, but it's just nothing that interests me. I need a little break from golf. And then LIV Golf in Chicago with John Rahm installed as a 4-1 favorite there. I won't be having any plays on those, at least right now. Maybe if there's something that sticks out over the weekend or a matchup I like, we'll take a shot. But golf kind of on the back burner currently. Again, tennis, we talked about that. Cashing the tickets with Sabalenka, Mukova, and Medvedev. So not a bad week for tennis. Not a bad U.S. Open for us. We'll take that and move along. And, man, stinks that the tennis season is over. So we got to wait until springtime. We have over the winter the Australian Open, so we will look forward to that, but that's still a ways away. All right, shifting over to racing. Yes, we got the Open Wheel guys back this week. We got NASCAR in action. We'll start with the Open Wheels, Big Machine, Music City Grand Prix. This is in the streets of Nashville, the final race of the season for the IndyCar circuit, which is very weird. It's a strange season. Strangely orchestrated, or I guess engineered is a better word, to just the double races, which I really don't hate, but just weird. They have these big gaps in their schedule, and I don't know if it's just hard to find tracks that they can race at or whatever. But nonetheless, Alex Palou and Will Power, the only two guys that can win the IndyCar championship. Will Power comes through with a win a couple of weeks ago, puts him in contention to catch Palou, but it's going to take a monumental effort for Will Power. The last that I had seen Palou, he's like minus 800. Will Power, though, mathematically, the only guy who can do it. Scott McLaughlin, I think, immediately is eliminated as soon as Palou starts the race. Palou would have to have something prior to green flag go wrong and not race for McLaughlin to be able to catch him. But I like Scott McLaughlin in this spot. I think he's going to be a little more aggressive. I think Palou will race a little more conservative, just making sure that he doesn't have a DNF early in the race and let Will Power track him down. Will Power will have to be aggressive. So if you can find Will Power in matchups, I would take a little bit of a shot with just about anybody's matchup against minus Scott McLaughlin. I think Scott McLaughlin probably will win this race because he's going to be able to let it all hang out. He's going to go. He's already probably the best driver currently in current form anyway. He led 25 laps here last year. I think he'll be very strong. Kyle Kirkwood won this race last year. Maybe a decent price there you get him in double digits, 10-1 or better, which you could take a shot with Kyle Kirkwood. So McLaughlin and Kirkwood to run the best, but Palou will hold on for the championship. I guess Will Power's not an awful bet if you get a decent price, but I'm sure his price, there's going to be baked into his price, meaning that they're going to account that he's going to have to be aggressive. He's going to have to take strategy risks. So you're going to see his number decreased despite where he would even qualify or what his normal number may be. F1 back in action. We had a week off after Italy. Now we go to Azerbaijan. We're at the Baku circuit. That's not a planet in Star Wars. That is a circuit in Azerbaijan, one of the former Soviet Union republics there down towards the Middle East. Interesting part of the world, to say the least. And this is an interesting race because you're coming into this race with the guy who's won it two out of the last 3 years is in terrible form, and that is Sergio Perez of Team Red Bull. He has just been awful, awful all season long. Red Bull continues to struggle as a team. And not that Verstappen's been really, really bad, but it hasn't been great for him, and it's been even worse for Sergio Perez, who did win this race last year. Then it was Max 2 years ago, and then 3 years ago it was Sergio Perez again. Charles Leclerc, just to refresh you, won at Monza. Of course, McLaren runs 2-3 in that one, and Ferrari runs 1-4. Ferrari seems to have some momentum. Mercedes, a little bit of a backslide there in Italy. They did not run as well as they had hoped. Hamilton was 6th. George Russell was 7th. And, of course, Max Verstappen, 6th. So a strange occurrence there. Charles Leclerc, though, good strategy. Ends up winning the race. Again, great run by Ferrari to stop that run of McLaren success and Mercedes success. So you got three teams right now operating with strong contenders, and there's really not Red Bull, because Red Bull's kind of just been off a little for the last several weeks. And can the manufacturer Chase heat up? I don't know. I guess I can't possibly completely rule that out. You have, I believe, 8 weeks left of, let's see, yeah, eight races left in the season for F1. So that, to me, is a lot of time. If you come up with some DNFs there, Verstappen could get tracked down. But I feel like he might still be able to win a race. But we'll see. Right now, he just doesn't have the speed in the straight line. And these teams are just overpowering him. And they're getting the lead. And they're not relinquishing it. So looking at some things this week in Baku. Again, Azerbaijani Grand Prix. Favorite Lando Norris now, plus 120. Second choice is Charles Leclerc and Oscar Piastri. Sergio Perez, top six here, plus 125. I don't think I can pull the trigger on that, although this has been one of his better tracks. Man, it's still risky. Just doesn't seem to have a whole lot. The Aston Martins have run well here in recent past. They have doubled top 10 odds of plus 240. Can they put it together? I don't know. They've had some bad luck. Not Sergio Perez. Fernando Alonso, sorry. Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll have not been their very best. So, again, two risky bets there with those two. Ferrari double top six I thought was interesting. Get 180. It's not a great price at all, but probably a good chance that could happen. Ferrari to win, plus 250. McLaren is the favorite in the race at minus 150. You get both cars there. Red Bull at 7-1 and Mercedes at 6-1. For whatever reason, I like George Russell in this. I think he could be a top six car here. I think he can get a fair price on George Russell to make the top six. He's at 16, 17-1 to win the race. I've liked what he's done here in the past, and I think that if he can be on the right side of the strategy here for the Mercedes team, then he probably will have a shot at contending here this weekend. Russell was... he was eighth here the last time, and then I think he finished third two times ago. So, like what I see out of him as far as this track goes. But can Max Verstappen relinquish a top three spot? I don't know. Can he hang in a top six? Probably. And then can Ferrari bounce back? Those are the questions that need to be answered. But I'm going with George Russell as my top play. I think he runs strong here for Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton at 14-1. Don't like him quite as much. So I'll post what I finalize here. I want to look at some qualifying and put these up either after the first practice or on Friday morning when they start the qualifying. We'll see where guys are. But George Russell is a lean. Ferrari double top six. Ferrari to win. I think that's a decent value there. And if you want to take a shot, Max Verstappen, I mean, you're still getting a pretty good price at around 7-1 for him. You can play the Red Bull team to win and around 7-1 also. So you get Alonso, Perez, should he return to his previous form. All right, on to NASCAR. It's Go Bowling at the Glen. All right, this is a good one. Watkins Glen, the road course. We come in the second race of the playoffs. Joey Logano, of course, wins the first race last week in Atlanta in exciting overtime fashion at 10-1. So here we go. Joey Logano making his move at the right time. This is a time where he usually seems to shine. Previous series champion Ryan Blaney, of course, won last year. But Logano, very strong. He's a contender. We talk about him all year. Remember early in the season, if you go back and you look at Sam and I, back in March and April, we just kept saying, man, Logano's prices are huge. His prices are huge. He's got to get it together at some point. Well, he has, and his team has, and he is very dangerous here. So it's a little early for me to make a prediction about picking the champion. I did last year, but we did that one probably with five or six races left. We took that big shot on Ryan Blaney. It was like 14-1, and we hit it. So I'm going to try to attack it from that standpoint. I want these guys, Denny Hamlin, Logano, those types of guys to win the races early on because their prices diminish and then I get better value on guys like Ryan Blaney and guys like William Byron and guys who are going to fly a little bit under the radar. I don't think the Hendrick team is going to fly under the radar this week, though, as we go bowling at the Glen. But just to recap the Atlanta race, it was exciting. It was definitely exciting. You get that kind of a cross between Daytona and Talladega with a little bit of Charlotte mixed into me when I watched that race. It's got the flat part like the tri-oval like Charlotte does. It's got the speed and drafting of Daytona or Talladega. Good race. Logano holds on. Suarez second. Blaney third. Bell, Bowman, Reddick. Top six there. Kyle Busch ran okay. Chase Elliott ran okay. William Byron, our pick, Austin Cindric. He was the best of the guys that we had. Buescher, of course, crashed in the race. We had a couple other crashes going on. Let's see who else crashed for us or somebody else had a bad run or had an issue on pit road, but not our best. That is for sure. But we'll try to get it done here on the road course. We've had some success at the road course tracks in the past. And as I was saying, the Hendrick team going to be tough to beat here. Chevy to win minus 145. So I originally, before I looked at any odds, this is how I attack these. I look at the driver results in my mind. Okay, here's how this person fares at this track. Not looking at any type of pricing. And then I'll look at the previous finishes at this track as well, as far as their driver ratings and things. And you start looking together and you start in your mind conceptualizing what their odds might be. And I know that's not going to be easy for everybody to do, but for me, it's just part of me, and that's what I do for my job. So it is. So if you're having trouble with it, write the stuff down, start looking at, and just, you don't even have to price it, just in your mind, okay, here's XYZ cars are going to probably be the favorites. I don't know what price they're going to be, but I'm going to be able to say they're probably going to be the favorites. And then you go your middle tier, then your longer shots. But when I was looking at this, I immediately was thinking in my mind, man, Chevy is going to be really, really hard to beat here. And the more I went on and I'm looking through it and I'm thinking, but the price might be a little bit too much for me to take a shot. Can I make a case for Toyota? And I could make a case for Toyota. Absolutely a strong case for Toyota. Ford, not so much. Now, there are some Fords that I think it could contend here. Some guys who have been a little under the radar. Probably not going to be able to win, though. I think this is a two-manufacturer race as far as the win goes. But weird things can happen, so I can't completely dismiss Ford. But right now, I thought there was a little bit of value with Toyota plus 250. I just 145 for Chevy, that's not a terrible price. I by no means would I say I would talk anybody off of that. And I would even consider betting it myself. But if I'm going to compare the two, is there enough of a difference there to make me say the 145 is a better value than the plus 250 or plus 225, whatever you're going to get to Toyota? I would probably take 220 or higher for the Toyotas to make it, you know, be worthwhile. Because you're going to have William Byron here. You're going to have Kyle Larson. They're the previous two winners, I believe, of this race. So you got to keep that in mind. The Hendrick cars run well here. They're all good road course racers. You throw Chase Elliott in the mix, an excellent road racer. And then you got Alex Bowman. So it's a tough stable to beat. But on the Toyota side of things, you got Denny Hamlin. You got Martin Truex. You got Chris Bell. You got Tyler Reddick. So, man, I mean, that's a pretty, you put the Hendrick four up against those four, and then you throw Ty Gibbs in there as the fifth Toyota that you think could really have a shot of winning, and you say, huh, there's a little bit more value on the Toyotas. They got five guys that I could see winning this race, whereas the Chevys, probably minus the Hendrick team, you'd have to stretch a little to get to another Chevy. Not that they can't win, but it's a little bit more of a leap if you're going to try to go to a Suarez or a Chastain or looking through another guy that could be a Chevy that could actually win this race. There isn't that many of them. But moving on, I think the Toyota makes sense. So a little bit of a lean to the Toyota there. Probably going to be a play for me. I think Chris Bell, 11-1. Ty Gibbs, 10-1. I think both of those guys, very, very fair prices here for these Toyotas. The Truax price, 16-1, and Denny Hamlin at 20-1. So you can tell the odds makers believe Chevy will dominate here. I'm not so sure. I think that they're going to be the hardest team to beat, the Hendrick team especially. But it is not impossible for a Toyota to get to victory lane. You look at Toyota, the last time we were here, Denny Hamlin and Chris Bell ran second and third to William Byron. William Byron led 66 laps in that race, and his car was locked in. But then you had another Toyota, Ty Gibbs. You had another Toyota, Martin Truex, all in the top six. These Toyotas were all knocking on the door. All the guys that I said, Gibbs, Truex, Hamlin, Bell, boom. They're going to be there. And you only really had another Chevy, A.J. Allmendinger, who will be another one of those Chevys that could contend. He's not an everyday circuit racer, though. I just don't have a great deal of confidence in him, although he's a good road racer. Chris Buescher, top finishing Ford. I think he's worth a play at top finishing Ford this week. I have him at 20-1. I think that might be a bet because I thought he, out of the Fords, made the most sense to be able to contend, beat out the other Fords, but probably not do enough to be able to beat the Chevys or the Toyotas. Joey Logano obviously needs to be looked at. You can't really dismiss him. Michael McDowell's run well here in the past. But Buescher's got back-to-back top 10s here. And I like him as the top finishing forward. I think that's worth a play. I ended up leaning, if I have to make a pick of a single racer in this, I'm going with Chase Elliott. He's way overdue to win. He's had great success at road course tracks. The Hendrick cars will be dialed in. And I would take a shot with him. But I really do like Chris Bell at 11-1 and Ty Gibbs at 10.5, 11-1. Gibbs will break through here at some point. It's going to happen. But I could not talk anybody off these Toyotas. I think you're getting tremendous value on these. You got Larson at 6-1. You got Reddick at 7-1. Those are a little bit too short for me. So I would pass on Reddick from the Toyota standpoint. Larson on the Chevy standpoint, I'm not playing him at 6-1. I just can't do it. Too many other good road racers. Byron's up around 9, 8.5, 9. Van Gisbergen's obviously a factor in a race like this with being a street course, but he's 9-1. I can't take. I'm going to go with the guys who have ran this track time and time again. Denny Hamlin at 20-1 to me is not a terrible bet at all. He's a proven winner. He's going to want to try to win this title race, and why not get a win here and get it started off right? Martin Truex, these are all his last races at these places. He's retiring. He's going to go all out, and it's 16-17-1 for him. Another guy that's just constantly in the top five at road courses. So a little bit of strategy plays in. I'm going to go with Elliott, but I really like Bell and Gibbs in both Truex and Hamlin. So a lot of Joe Gibbs racing, basically that whole stable with Joe Gibbs versus Hendrick. If you could find matchups, Joe Gibbs versus Hendrick, the value's on Joe Gibbs. Now, while the Hendricks will be tough to beat, but the Joe Gibbs guys are the only team that can match those guys. So we'll take a shot with a few of those in a very exciting go bowling at the Glen up in Watkins Glen, New York. A beautiful 90 laps at the 2.45-mile road course. All right, we're going to take a break here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 100. Yes, we're in triple figures. That is correct. We're going to come back, and we're going to do our watchdog portion of the program, as we're going to be on the watchdog on Friday, bringing you into the pregame for Wheeling Park football, Wheeling Central football, and, well, this week usually would be John Marshall football, but this week it'll be Cameron. We'll do the Cameron Dragons this week. So plenty more to come here from the Pine Room Studios, and we will be coming to you via the watchdog for the next hour on Bettors Last Stand. But if you're listening on the podcast or on the YouTube channel, don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a moment.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Bettors Last Stand.
Excited to have you here as we recap things at Bettors Last Stand. Wise, we were up over 10 units last week. We did okay in the NFL. I go through all the other sports. You can check all those out if you have any interest in NASCAR, tennis, and some of the other things. I did some baseball, golf. Not so much golf this time of year, but if you're interested in those, visit us at the Pine Room Studios on our YouTube page, pineroomstudios.com. You can watch and listen to all the shows that we have in podcast form. You can listen to all of our radio rewinds and all of our radio show guests that we've had on Tuesdays and Fridays here on The Watchdog. So, again, recapping, we were up over 10 units last week. As far as the plays that we gave out in this segment, we were 3-2 in the AFL. We were 2-2 in the CFL. We were 7-7 in college football. Man, we treaded water around 500 completely. Best bet, Cincinnati, no go. They blow a huge lead against Pitt. Oh, that was an awful one. And then our best bet in the NFL does get there. An outright win from the 8-point dog New England Patriots. We talked about that one several weeks here on Bettors Last Stand and over on the Pine Room Watchdog Show and Football Friday Show. I just am not a believer in the Bengals at all, and it showed. And New England gets the job done there as our best bet. So we were 8-6 in the NFL, started out very, very hot. Couple of late collapses by the Titans and a few other teams, which we'll talk about in the Bad Beats portion of the program. Tennis futures, we had Five winners in those. So we talked about that earlier in the show. We were 3-0 in our tennis plays in the U.S. Open for last week in the individual matches. So if you're interested in tennis, you can follow us, Bettors Last Stand, BLS underscore PRP. You can follow all the Bettors Last Stand picks that I give or Sam, our racing expert, gives on the NASCAR, Formula One, or IndyCar series. AFL, we still got futures alive there. We'll talk about those here in the program coming up. But first, the first form of football that we'll talk about will be English Premier League soccer, but I want to go through a few things going on in the industry itself, because it's rare these days where you have a week of sports betting talk where you don't have some major story or something coming out of, you know, off the news rack, that there's a story breaking, whether there was a issue with, you know, incorrect odds or people were doing something illegally or whatever, integrity issues with the sporting events, all that stuff is in play. It happens all the time, but that's why we have it regulated, because this stuff was happening way, way, way before this. But now it's regulated and people are catching it. It's just like when people say, well, a lot of these diseases we never had back in the days. Well, we just didn't know we had them because we didn't test for them as much as we do now. Now, there's some truth to that, but I'm sure there could be. There's probably a counterpoint. But nonetheless, Bet365, interesting controversy on Monday Night Football. Bet365, Australian bookmaker, really, really good book, like outstanding. They brought their operation to North America. They hired North American traders to handle their North American stuff. That may have been their downfall. Again, very reputable book. I love Bet365. I wish it was in West Virginia. And I'm a big, big fan of it. They have some of the best odds. They have some of the best markets. And if you check out their website, you'd be very, very impressed with what they offer. This is not a depiction of how they operate. It was just, you know, a lot of times this stuff is farmed out. It's sourced out to third parties. And a lot of times people are not experienced and they run into it every single day. There's very little experience in the sports betting landscape in North America. Very, very little. And I'm talking from a legal side of things as far as book operators go. People who really, truly know the rules and how these things work, there wasn't that many of them. They all were in Nevada. And now you're having to branch out. The guys in Nevada are staying. Their understudies are going out to some bigger properties, some better properties. And then you're just left over with a bunch of fat, basically, for the most part. You get some diamonds in the rough, of course, but it's tough to find good operators as they continue to expand. You just don't have enough well-trained people, and that's the whole point of it. You got to train your people. Your people aren't trained well, it's a reflection on you. Bet365, though, an interesting one. Monday Night Football, of course, Christian McCaffrey, questionable all week, so we thought. We knew he was not playing. In hindsight, he wasn't going to play. But they didn't tell us that. They didn't tell us that up until the time that the game's getting ready to start. And here comes Jordan Mason. People are betting Jordan Mason when they get the news that McCaffrey will not play. He won't even suit up on Monday Night Football. Jordan Mason posted total for his yards, rushing yards, 13.5. That means if he gets 14 yards, he cashes that one. Or if he went under, of course, he had to stay under 14 yards. But people are hammering the over here. Nothing suspicious. Just they're getting information. And Bet365, a little slow to move the number, probably a lot slow to move the number. Hard to imagine when it's Christian McCaffrey, too. This isn't your fourth wide receiver that's not playing. This is like a guy who touches the ball like 60% of the time for the 49ers. So bad job by them, no question, or whoever was running their trading in North America. Might not even have been them. It just might have been branded by them. So 13.5 is the prop. People hit it pretty, pretty good. At the end of the night, they tell the people who won, hey, we made a mistake. They're basically claiming palpable error, which means there was a clear and obvious error that they mispriced something. But that was not what went on here. They just didn't move the number. The number wasn't mispriced originally. It was exactly right. It was minus 120 or minus 110. Maybe it was minus 115. But anyway, a very marginal juice on a prop like that, which is going to be basically a 50-50, a 11 to 10 ratio, which would be very common for a player like Jordan Mason. So they try to do it, and they try to pay out at minus 5,000. So you go from minus 110, minus 120 to minus 5,000. It takes away any profit that you have at all. Some of your more experienced guys, absolutely irate to the point they won't do business here anymore. But after some pressure, after a lot of social media posting, here we go. They did a complete 180 on it. Very similar to what DraftKings did with their little tax the rich, tax the winners thing that they tried and failed miserably in about a week's time. So they readjusted it and paid out everybody with the odds as they were originally written. So that got that one right. So it started out a mess. They didn't did rectify the situation. So that's good. French tennis player Alice Tabillo filed a complaint with Paris prosecutors after she allegedly received over 3,000 hateful social media messages from disgruntled sports bettors. We say this on the show quite often. We say it on the Watchdog Network radio show for the Pine Room guys. We say it on the Pine Room podcast. If you behave like that, you have no business. You shouldn't watch this show. You shouldn't bet. You shouldn't be allowed to bet. You can't act like that. You cannot treat people like that. I don't care if this girl is point shaving. You can't treat somebody to the point where you're threatening to hurt them. That's just not right. There's other ways to go about it. If you have a complaint with a governing body of a sport, there's ways you can file that with in the jurisdictions. You could go to the gaming authorities or the lottery commissions in those states, file the appeal. They'll investigate it. You don't have to go and just berate somebody. And it's horrible. And this is a small-time tennis player here. I can't imagine what some of the bigger ones do. So social media, obviously, a cesspool of disgust and filth. It's like Mos Eisley Cantina. Scum and villainy everywhere you can find them here. But there's a lot of good people, too. So I don't know about Mos Eisley. There was a few. Han Solo was in there. So we're going to go with some good people. And Obi-Wan Kenobi. All right, NFL. Let's talk about that. The most bet NFL game of the week was the Rams and Lions, followed by the Ravens and the Chiefs, followed by the Packers and the Eagles. You know what they all had in common? Standalone games. As my good friend and mentor, Bill Sattler, who ran Caesar's Books for a long time, always tells me that the standalone games are a bookie's best friend, because people are either trying to make wagers to get ahead for the week or they're chasing at the end. He loves the standalones. He said those just write the most action. They're not going up against anything, and people will dive into 3, 4, 5 different markets within the same game. So he is exactly right, as always. Moving on, NFL, more stuff here from week one. Favorites, 13-3 straight up, 9-7 ATS. Home teams, 10-5 straight up, 9-6 ATS. Overs and unders, exactly 8-8. So dead 500 on the overs and unders. The most bet teams of the week. How about this? We gave you many of these last week. The Bengals, loser. The Dolphins, loser, lost by a half. Tennessee, of course, these are point spreads. Tennessee, loser. That was one that I had. Oh, that hurt. And then the Bills also got hooked. Bills laying 6.5, Dolphins laying 3.5. Tennessee, it wasn't enough no matter what it was. And then Cincinnati laying 8 or 7 if you got a really good number, but didn't matter. They got beat outright. 45 people failed. This is just amazing. 45 people failed to enter their picks in the $1,000 buy-in Circa Survivor contest. So you paid $1,000 to get into a Survivor pool, and you forgot to put in a play. The pool is $14.2 million. What are you thinking? Maybe you just have money that you don't even care. Survivor losses week one, of course. Cincinnati, the biggest one. They accounted for almost 40% of the plays in most Survivor pools. So just staggering. And I'm happy to report I did not get knocked out in week one this year. I had the Seattle Seahawks, and although it wasn't easy, they did get the job done, 1-6. So we'll take it. Bengals fans, sorry. Better at the Hard Rock. Listen to this one. This is just incredible. A better at the Hard Rock hits a $15 bet. He made a $15 parlay. He bet all 16 NFL games, the money lines on him. He hit. He didn't round robin it. He hit all 16. 16 for 16. He wins $104,000 on a $15 bet. Honestly, that doesn't seem like enough for picking 16 winners in the NFL. Absolutely incredible job by that man or lady. Didn't say what gender. Most odds makers had the Packers downgraded from a 5.5 to 6.5 point power rate with Jordan Love being out. So basically what that means is they're almost a touchdown worse without him. 5, 6, 7 almost without Jordan Love. So incredibly interesting stuff there. And they dropped in the power ratings overall from 9th across the board, cumulative to, or consensus, I guess is the better word in this exercise. Consensus, 9th in power ratings for bookmakers, down to 25th with Willis now coming, Malik Willis taking over. And that's a game we'll talk about here in a couple of minutes. But, wow, the Colts are not a team that I'm high on, but it's almost Colts are passing in that game with Willis. You can't bet this guy. I mean, I've seen the guy play. He can't play. He cannot play. It reminds me of the guy. His name's escaping me for the moment. But he got cut earlier this year. He's starting for the Falcons, and they were trying to make believe that this guy was a starter, and they ended up parting ways with him. He was from Cincinnati. I can't remember. I don't know why I can't remember his name. But anyway, it's been a long week, I guess. Lions are now 38-7-17 ATS since 2021, the best of any NFL team. Dan Campbell, Lola's boy Dan Campbell, getting the job done. 38-17 ATS for the Lions during that run. All right, a little bit of college football before we dive in to the weekly cards. Notre Dame was 51-1 when favored by at least 25 points since 1978. Wow. And we're minus 7,500 on the money line. I saw worse. I saw lower. I saw higher. So just an astronomical number, however you want to slice it. 7,500 money line this past week against Northern Illinois, who was around 25-1. So amazing return if you had Northern Illinois. It's a heck of a win, especially on the money line. Books desperately needed NC State last week, and it did not work. That was one I was on. I felt very good about. Should have made Tennessee my best bet. That was the other one. That fell second to Cincinnati. But Tennessee absolutely destroys NC State at home, and we told you many times NC State is a fraud. They are not a real contender and should not be in the playoffs. They're just in a very poor league. Quinn Ewers now the Heisman betting favorite. Cam Ward, so much for him. Out of sight, out of mind. Ewers goes into the big house and handles Michigan pretty easily for Texas. He is now the betting favorite for the Heisman at 6-1, but plenty of time still remaining. A few bad beats here. I talked about the Titans a couple of times already. They led the Bears. They were getting 4.5. They led the Bears 17-0 midway through the second quarter, and they went on to lose the game 24-17. It was awful. Will Levis, just inexplicable decision-making for him, which makes you think that maybe this guy can't play. And I think I'm pretty hard in that camp that he's got to be set down here for Mason Rudolph and quickly if the Titans have any hopes. Titans outplayed them in every facet of the game except the turnovers. They got a punt blocked. No excuse for that. And then Will Levis's costly turnovers lead to a debacle. And the Bears, who did nothing on offense, score twice on defense and win the game. Caleb Williams didn't even hit 100 yards passing. And among the many rookie quarterbacks who struggled, which we'll talk about a little bit when we go through the card. But underdogs of 4-plus points leading by 17 or more at any point had been 66-1-1 ATS since 2019. Not anymore. They're now 66-2-1 as the Titans fall apart. And then there's Notre Dame moneyline bettors. If you had them on your parlays, trying to make your parlays pay more, which it doesn't, people are under a misconception. And if you don't understand this, please feel free. Reach out. Contact at thepineroompodcast.com. You can reach us at the watchdognetwork.com site. You can email us there. You can email us at the Pine Room Studios website. Anywhere you want. If you have questions about this stuff, just adding more teams to your parlay doesn't matter. It's not as if it's a multiplier by how many teams you have. It all has to do with the prices. So if you're putting Notre Dame on there at minus 7,500, that's not going to increase your parlay by more than a couple of cents. There's just no sense in putting them on there because the chances are that they lose is better than it actually impacting your parlay's price for the good. So you got to understand that. I know a lot of people don't understand these rules, but learn them as you go along and realize how to minimize your losses. That is one of the areas that you can do. Keep your big, giant money line parlay favorites or money line favorites off of your parlays. Shouldn't be doing parlays much anyway, but if you're going to do them, don't be laying 7,500 on anybody on there. As you've seen, anybody can beat anybody in college football and pro football these days because of the amount of turnover rate that you have and just the change of rosters, and it's just a very high variance football that we watch these days. All right, moving on. Soccer, the EPL guys are back in action this week after international break, so we're getting into that right now. It's a full card of action on Saturday and two games on Sunday. Looking forward to having this stuff back with you. We did all right a couple of weeks ago. I don't have my numbers with me, but I believe we were over 500, maybe like 5-2 or something. So Manchester United and Southampton is where we'll start out here. This game at Southampton. Southampton, a team that I think is going to be relegated. I think they're very, very poor. Right now, United minus 140 on the money line. Southampton around 325, 285 on the draw. The total is 3. And the last 4 in this series have stayed under the total. That's where I'm going to be going here. I'm going to go under 3. And another interesting fact, I mean, Manchester United is probably going to win this match, but you just don't know about them. They're very risky. So I'm not going to play them. Draw is not terrible. Draw, no bet. Man United, not a price that I want to mess with. But Southampton has not beaten Manchester United since 2003, if you can believe that. And Manchester United has not been that good in the recent, since Sir Alex Ferguson stepped down. So that's hard to imagine. But Southampton and Manchester United under 3 is where we will go with the 7:30 a.m. kick on USA tomorrow morning in the EPL. Then we got Ipswich and Brighton. It'll be Brighton minus 295, Ipswich plus 640. The draw, $4. This one at the coast of the Seagulls down there on the shores at Brighton. And should be a beautiful setting for the Seagulls and the Plowboys, as poor form for Ipswich on the road. So it's really tough to not bet Brighton here, but 295, we can't lay a price like that. Last 3 in this series have been unders. I passed on this game. I couldn't come up with anything that I really liked, so we'll pass on that one. Brentford at Man City. Man City minus 590, 1130 coming back for Brentford. Just staggering prices. Draw, 610. I don't think that's crazy. Brighton actually won at Manchester City in 2022, if you can believe it. I think Brighton to score at minus 125 is a great bet here. Brentford is who I mean. Brentford beat Manchester City in 2022 at Manchester City, and it's Brentford. Sorry, we went from Brighton to Brentford. We're on Brentford to score a goal against Manchester City. Minus 125. I think it has a lot of good things about it. I think Brentford will have a really good chance to score. They'll attack in this game. They'll get some chances. City will have the ball 80% of the time. But Brentford is a team that we bet a lot to both teams to score. Obviously, you can bet that market. That's actually probably a decent price as well. But I like Brentford to score a goal. All they're going to do is put one in. City will probably win this game. But I like Brentford to score a goal. And 4 of the last 6 in this contest have went to the under. So 4 of the last 6 in the series have stayed under, but we're going Brentford to score a goal at minus 125. Leicester and Crystal Palace, the next one as we go to London. We head from Manchester to London here. It's Palace minus 170, Leicester plus 405 coming back, and a draw plus 295. 4 of the last 5 in this one have went over the total. I like both teams to score here. I think the home teams have kind of dominated the series here, so I think Crystal Palace is probably the way to go, but minus 170, I don't like laying numbers like that. So we'll go with both teams to score at about minus 125, minus 130. I think Leicester will be okay to score a goal, and Palace has improved their offense, so we'll go with them. Nottingham Forest and Liverpool. Liverpool, big favorite here, minus 455 at Anfield. Nottingham plus 920, draw plus 520. I have no thoughts on this one. Liverpool should roll in this game, and I just don't ever know, coming off a break, how they'll perform. They've won the last 3, of course, against Forest, and Forest is a team you really can't back in a game like this unless they were at home. West Ham at Fulham, another London showdown here. It'll be West Ham plus 140. I'm sorry, West Ham plus 175, Fulham plus 140, the draw plus 230. So a very even match here. 3 of the last 4 in this series have stayed under the total. Fulham won both of these contests last year, and I'm going under the 2.5 here. I think this is a nip and tuck type game. I think it's probably a 1-1 score line, maybe a 1-0 in favor of somebody. But we'll go Fulham and West Ham under at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. 12:30 kick on Saturday afternoon. It'll be Everton at Aston Villa. Aston Villa minus 215. Everton, ooh, bottom of the table so far, plus 495, plus 340 on the draw. 3 of the last 5 in this matchup have went over the total. Don't like anything in the total here. Everton off an absolutely gut-wrenching loss to Bournemouth the last time we played Premier League soccer. I believe it was on a Saturday or Sunday morning. They led 2-0 going into the 87th minute. Well, they gave up a goal to Bournemouth to make it 2-1. Then stoppage time comes along, and they give up another goal to tie it at 90+4 at 2-2. And then they give up a third goal at like 90+6 to lose the game 3-2, one of the worst losses you'll ever see. I'm going to go with Villa here. I think they're a little bit cheap at -135. Actually, it's -215. Sorry. -215 for Villa. I don't like giving out $2 favorites, but they are a little cheap here. Maybe play them on the Asian handicap at -0.75, and you can get more towards even money or slightly over -115 for Aston Villa. So we'll go to Villa against Everton at home. Then it's Chelsea and Bournemouth, a 3 o'clock kick on Saturday afternoon. Chelsea even money, Bournemouth +225, 275 on the draw here. I'm going with Bournemouth to score a goal, and I think they'll actually score two goals. So I'm going to go with Bournemouth to score over 1.5 goals at +110. I'm going to go over in the match at 3 goals. Chelsea has really struggled to defend. They got a lot of new guys in the back. They're scoring goals now, which is one of their problems. They're scoring them. They're giving them up, though. So we're going to go with this game over the 3, and I think Bournemouth will get at least 2 here. So Chelsea maybe wins the game 3-2 or ties 2-2. That's most likely what will happen here. And then Sunday, the North London Derby. It'll be Arsenal and Tottenham. This is a rivalry game. Both these teams hate each other. Arsenal is right now the top choice to win the league. They're +125. Tottenham is +190. Spurs is the home team here. Draw, it's 250. Arsenal's won the last 4 in this series. But here's where I'm going. The angle I'm taking here. I think Arsenal wins the game. At +125, taking Arsenal, still, that's a pretty fair price. They're much the better team. But bookings, these matches have averaged over 5.6 bookings per match. So the posted number right now is 4.5. So that means you need to get to 5 bookings. These teams hate each other. There'll be cards. There'll be hard tackles. And especially if Arsenal comes out and puts a couple in early, the Spurs players will lose their minds. They'll start trying to hurt people. And I think over 4.5 bookings is an absolute cinch here. I love that bet. So we're going to go with Arsenal +125 to win on the money line and the bookings, which are cards, yellow cards, red cards, however many you want to amass. Whatever color they are, they equal 5. We got to get to 5. So let's go for that. We'll go with the North London Derby to be full of madness and mayhem and lots of bookings, and Arsenal wins the match. Moving on to Canadian football now. Canadian football, only 3 games this week. So that's it's getting to the time of year where you got some teams having byes. So that's okay. Friday night's game, here we go. Toronto and British Columbia. The BC Lions are at home. They're -5, the total 52.5. Toronto has won the last 3 in this series. 3 of the last 5 of these contests have went over. And Toronto won 35-27 earlier this year back in week number 1. Toronto's coming off 2 straight losses. And BC's coming off 2 straight wins. Do I want to play BC? No. Do I want to play Toronto? Not really. I'm going to go over the 52.5 Friday evening, 10 o'clock. BC hosting Toronto over 52.5. Saturday's games, it's Ottawa at Hamilton. It'll be Ottawa -4, the total 51. Hamilton has played a little bit better, but they still aren't very good. They're catching forward home, of course. The last 4 out of 5 of these matchups, the away team has won. And Ottawa won 24-22 in week 4. That was at home, so they didn't cover. Hamilton covered that one. So you got to take that into account. But I couldn't figure out how to make an angle where I liked Ottawa or Hamilton here. So I'm going under the 51 in Ottawa and Hamilton at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Montreal and Calgary, the Saturday nightcap. Montreal -5.5 on the road, total 49.5. Montreal have a bad loss to BC last week. I think they get it back going here this week. I like them. I'm going to play the Alouettes -5.5 on the road at Calgary. Calgary has lost 5 of the last 6 in this series, so that's a little troubling to me. And Montreal won the previous meeting 30-26 at home. I think they're a little bit better than they were when they played that game, so we'll go with Montreal -5 in Canadian football. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with you here on the Watchdog as we take you up to the pregame of the 3 football games that we have coming your way tonight. High school football action, Wheeling Central in action, Wheeling Park in action, and then tonight it'll be Cameron substituting for John Marshall here on the Watchdog Radio Network. Get over to watchdognetwork.com for all the games tonight. You can stream them all. You can listen to all three of them. We're going to take a break here. Bettor's Last Stand show number 100 coming to you from the Watchdog Studios. And we'll be back and we'll get into the college football and pro football cards here on episode 100. It's Bettor's Last Stand. We'll be back.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Bettor's Last Stand.
All right, let's get into Aussie rules real quick. We got a few live bets going, or, well, live action future bets going. We have Geelong and the Brisbane Lions both on the futures. And hopefully we got Port Adelaide as well. But the two matches we're going to talk about here are the semifinal games. So you got Geelong, the Cats, who took out Port Adelaide. They advanced to they're in the winner's bracket, basically, if we're going to talk in North American terms. They, along with Sydney, is in the other part of the winner's bracket. Those teams had one win. They advance. They're clear. They now await the winners of these games. Two of the teams were in the winner's side of things to start off, which were the Brisbane Lions and the GWS Giants, and then Port Adelaide and Hawthorn each traded out in the one in the losers bracket, and both teams actually coming out in the losers brackets. Actually, I'm wrong about that. Brisbane plays the loser GWS. GWS got beat last week by Sydney, but they covered the spread. Sorry, I confused myself there. And then Port Adelaide, who got crushed by Geelong, plays Hawthorn, who took out Western with ease. All right, so Port has won four of the last five in this series. So it's Port Adelaide hosting the Hawthorn Hawks. I'm sorry. I'm way backwards on this. I'm struggling. I need a shot of whiskey or something right now. I better get over to Gumby's and get some beer or something. Port Adelaide Power on the road at the Hawthorn Hawks, because in these they list them not the North American way. Their home team is on the top, not on the bottom. Nonetheless, the Hawthorn Hawks will host the Port Adelaide Power. It's a 7.5-point spread. Hawthorn the favorite. It's actually up to 8.5 some spots. 166.5 is the total. The winner of this one will play the Swans, so that is a little bit of intrigue here. I think Port Adelaide right now they're kind of clinging to life. They're struggling. They look exhausted. Some of their guys are hurt. No Sam Powell Pepper. Charlie Dixon's been really bad since coming back from injury. Power lost this game really badly earlier in the season, and they got beat badly by Geelong last week. So the Power, to me, limping in here, but I'm going to take a shot with them still because I got a future bet on them, and I'm catching 8.5. Hawthorn has had a great, great season. They pounded Western, and they're playing really well right now. But can they continue the momentum? I don't know. Port has won four of the last five in this series. So I'm going to go with the Power here, take a little bit of risk, and I'm going to go over the 166.5. The other matchup, it will be the Brisbane Lions hosting the GWS Giants. It'll be GWS minus 4.5 on the road, and a total 169.5. And I think this game, to me, will come down to, did Brisbane go all out last week? I don't think they did. The winner of this match plays Geelong next week. And I think the Lions are sitting on a really, really big effort here. So we're going to go with the Lions. We're going to take them plus the 4.5 now. That line has went from 1.5 up to 4.5 in favor of GWS. But the Lions are the better team to me. GWS, very inconsistent all season long. The Lions have won three of the last five in this series. And I do think that GWS will be pesky. But they gave everything last week to try to win that match, and they did not come up with a win. And I think Brisbane had a very easy match, which we talked about here, and they just kind of walked through that one, and now they'll be ready to go. I like them here against GWS in a tight contest, and we'll go over the 169.5. And again, we have the plays on the Geelong Cats and the Brisbane Lions to win it all, along with Port Adelaide. So could Port Adelaide win in advance? We certainly hope so. All right, let's move it on to pro football now. Everybody wants to talk about pro football. It was an interesting week one, of course. Not the most well-played week one. I struggled to find games that I thought were very good. But a few narratives that I want to go over that I think that were public narratives, media narratives, national media narratives, even local media narratives that are just completely false. One, Justin Fields won the game against the Atlanta Falcons. And the second part of that one is I was hearing about how great the Falcons were all summer. Oh, my, this Falcons offense loaded with weapons. They got this. They got that. Well, they got an old quarterback who's got a bad Achilles still, who's coming back, and you know he'll probably get better. But Kirk Cousins was not very sharp, and he looked very old in that game. And they're playmakers enough. Pitts never has done anything. Drake London is terrible. And Bijan Robinson, completely overrated. Those guys were non-factors in that game. And, yeah, the Steelers have a solid defense. I would not call it great, but a solid defense. But terrible performance by Atlanta. New coaching staff, same results. Atlanta's just a loser franchise. They just really are. So stop it with your Drake London. Stop it with your Bijan Robinson. Stop it with your Cousins. Stop it with your Pitts. They're just not that good. And then on the other side of the ball, the Steelers. Just inept offense. Just terrible. In the red zone, I think, for like one play. 6 field goals wins them the game. Yes, Watt was outstanding, but Justin Fields did 0, except for, I will say, he didn't turn it over. So we'll give him that because he's really bad at that, and that won't continue. But I think it's insane that Justin Fields continues to start if Wilson is healthy for the Steelers because they are not going to be able to get by with 6 field goal performances and no red zone trips and no touchdowns. It's just not going to happen. Another narrative that's completely false, Joe Burrow is an elite quarterback. He's just simply not. He gets credit for a win over the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, which was one of the few times you ever see Andy Reid mismanage the end of a half. If you remember, they ran this pass play out to Tyreek Hill when they had no timeouts left, and Hill couldn't get by the defender and fell down inbounds. Clock ran out. They got no points on the drive. If the Chiefs punch that in, they go up. I want to say they were going to go up 24 points in that, or at least 20. At least a 2-3 score game right there. I don't remember the specifics, but I do remember the play. Then the Bengals aren't even in the Super Bowl, and no one's talking about this. I just don't understand. The elite player on the Bengals on offense is without a question. It's Ja'Marr Chase. He is the elite player. Joe Burrow is not. So as you continue to watch, you'll continue to see that I'm probably right about this. And I'm not right very often, but I think I am about that. I don't see Burrow continuing as a starter in this league in a few years. I just don't think he's good. I think he's using his body as an excuse now. But anyway, that's another false narrative. You saw it. New England manhandled them. He looked horrible. The Jets are contenders. They will not contend with Robert Saleh as a coach. They won't. Their defense is overrated. It's okay. It's better than average, but it's not great. It's solid, but it's not great. 49ers went up and down the field on them easily. Robert Saleh, Mr. Defense, he knows everything. That guy's an idiot. They're not going to win with him. So unless Aaron Rodgers can look a little healthier, which he did not look very good either with the Achilles, not terrible, but not great, the Jets, not real contenders. The pressure will get to them. They will fall apart. Robert Saleh is a loser. Anthony Richardson is good. Another false narrative. Great athlete. He makes a highlight reel play here. Then he makes a blunder here. Loss at home to the Texans. That will continue to happen. He will be the next Justin Fields. Maybe he doesn't turn it over quite as much, but that's what he's going to be like. He's not going to win the ball games. Just not going to happen. Let's see. Oh, Caleb Williams. Let's get to him. That he was going to have an immediate impact on the Bears. The Bears' offense was going to look great. He had 90 yards. The Bears won because of turnovers. The Titans gave them the game, gift wrapped it, sent it like a fruitcake during Christmas. Caleb Williams, I'm not saying he's going to be terrible. He's going to get better, but he was not ready yet, and the Bears were very lucky to have won, so just stop it. The Broncos have a great coach and a great young quarterback. Absolute falsities. Just not true. These are not true. Sean Payton is not a great coach. He proves it year after year. How many quarterbacks are you going to keep giving him that aren't Drew Brees that you're just going to keep saying, oh, Sean Payton, wait till he gets his hands on him. This guy's going to be a star. Taysom Hill's going to be a star. Russell Wilson's going to be a star. Bo Nix is going to be a star. No, Russell Wilson already was a star before, and he didn't. And all Payton did was mess it up worse. Broncos stink. They're going to be terrible. But they might win this week. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But enough with the Bo Nix, enough with the Sean Payton. These are just, I'm tired of the falsehoods. I'm tired of people believing this stuff. So we're going to tell you how it's going to go here on Better's Last Stand. I'm not going to stand for this. At least you got to hear both sides. So you want to hear somebody say how great they are, you're at least going to hear me say the other side. You make the evaluation. And last was Rodgers and Cousins will be coming back healthy, fresh. That's not the case. That didn't look pretty last week. All right, let's get into the games. Right now, the Raiders at the Ravens. Ravens 9.5, total 41.5 here. I think the Ravens offense looked pretty decent last week. They had a lot of mistakes, but they still scored some points. I like this game over the total of 41.5. The Raiders, to me, are a team that is going to have they may have some decent wins, but they're going to have a lot of bad losses as well. Chargers and Panthers. It's the Chargers on the road at the Panthers. Laying 6.5, total 39. This sharp money on the Chargers here that went from 3.5 up to 6.5. Boy, you got to really be concerned if you're a Panther guy. And I was wrong. I thought the Panthers would contend in that game. They were beaten off their feet at the very beginning by the Saints. A terrible performance by them. So I was way wrong on that, and I might be way wrong on them being over their win total. An abysmal performance by the Carolina Panthers. But I don't know. It's only week two. Teams may improve. 6.5. That's a little much to lay on the road for me, but I do think the Chargers win this game. I'm passing, though, as far as a play. Saints at Cowboys, 6.5 the line here. Cowboys minus 6.5, total 45.5. Sharp money on the Cowboys, public money on the Saints. Don't believe what you saw with the Saints. They aren't very good. Carolina's just worse. Lean Dallas here. Would like to, if I could get an even 6, I'll be on the Cowboys. We'll sit and wait. BLS underscore PRP will post the plays if it ends up being Dallas. Probably lean in Dallas. I wasn't overly impressed because while I played Dallas here, I didn't really think they played all that well against the Browns. The Browns were really bad. So Dallas, to me, is a little bit of value here. They may just steamroll the Saints. Remember how good Dallas has been at home in the past years. All right, Lions hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the old Norris Division matchup here. Lions minus 7, total 51.5. Public money on Tampa. While I think Tampa's solid, I think they'll win that division without question. We picked them to win the division. It's a tough game for them. I like this game under the 51.5. I think the Lions' defense is even better than it has been. I thought they are going to continue to get better. That was their first game as a unit against a good Rams team. I like this game under. I think they stymie Baker Mayfield a little bit. I don't think the game is a blowout, though. I think that Tampa hangs around with a chance to maybe cover the 7, but I like the under 51.5. Indianapolis at Green Bay. This one almost impossible. Open Green Bay minus 5. Jordan Love out. It goes to the Colts minus 3. Total 41. Public all over the Colts here. I will stay away from that. As much as I would like to say the Colts, it makes sense for the spot with Love giving way to Willis. I can't bet Anthony Richardson on the road, not in Lambeau Field. We'll go under 41 here. I think this is a low-scoring game with two pretty bad quarterbacks. Cleveland at Jacksonville in a must-win game for both of these teams. It's Jacksonville now up to 3.5-point favorite at home. More controversy swirling around Deshaun Watson. Oh, boy. We had Kelsey Russo of the Cleveland Browns on the show on Tuesday to talk about. We didn't talk about the off-the-field issues, but we talked about the on-the-field problems for Deshaun Watson. So if you want to check that out, pineroomstudios.com is where you want to go to listen to that wonderful interview with her. She's very insightful. We'll be having her and some other people from the Cleveland Browns on throughout the season. Of course, your home for the Cleveland Browns all season long here on the Watchdog. Jacksonville, minus 3.5, as I said, total 41.5. Sharp money on the Jags here. I got to lean the Jags. If I can find 3 or better, I'm taking them. Lots of bad stuff going on right now for the Cleveland Browns, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong about that. 49ers on the road at the Minnesota Vikings. It'll be the 49ers minus 6. Total 45.5 sharp money showing on the Niners. I like the under here. I think it'll be tough for Darnold to repeat what he did. 49ers will ball control this. No McCaffrey probably. I think Shanahan just gets in, he gets out, and he gets a W. It'll be an under 45.5 in the Vikings and 49ers. Seahawks at Patriots. Patriots with the big stunner last week. Seahawks also won. Seahawks minus 3 on the road. Total 38. No play here. Small lean to the Seahawks. Sharp money on the Seahawks. Public on the Patriots. I'm leaning Seahawks, but I don't love anything there. Jets and Titans. Jets minus 3.5 on the road. Total 41. I don't get that at all, but I think there will be some points here. I think you could see some mistakes from both teams. I like over 41 in the Jets and the Titans. Giants and Commanders. Well, Giants and Redskins we're going to go with. The Redskins minus 1.5 at home. The total 44. It'll be I think this is a really tricky game, but I like the Commanders. I like what Jaden Daniels did in week one, and I think he gets enough of a break here against a bad Giants team. Gets protected, can make some plays with his feet. I like the Redskins here minus the 1.5 against the Giants. The Giants taking some public money already. I don't get that at all. LA Rams on the road. They opened minus 2. Now it's the Cardinals minus 1.5 at home. The total 49.5. I'm all over the Rams here. McVay owns this matchup against the Cardinals. I think they've won the last 6 in a row. I'm all over the Rams. Probably my best bet. If you could get the Rams at plus money on the money line, I would take them. I think they win this game. Whether if Puka Nacua plays or not, they got enough players. Stafford, a veteran, they'll win this game. I like the Rams big in that one. Cincinnati at KC, it'll be the Chiefs minus 6, total 48. Public on the Bengals. They're waiting for Burrow to bounce back. That's all I've heard. Wait till Burrow gets cooking. Yeah, here we go, Bengals. Not going to happen. Chiefs, best team they've had in a while. They didn't look great last week, but they're going to continue to get better. Andy Reid has it ready. Chiefs up from 3.5 to 6. I'm on the sharp side. I'm on the Chiefs minus the 6. I don't want to go any higher than that, but I think the Chiefs will take care of business. Steelers at Broncos. Oh, boy. Bad game here. Steelers minus 3 on the road. Total 36.5. Sharp money on the over. Sharp money on the Steelers. Public money on Denver. I just don't get it. I'm going to have to play the Steelers here. I don't love the play, but this is the kind of game that Tomlin loses. He shouldn't, but he does. So I'm going to pass on the side here, and we're going to go under 36.5 here. Another very ugly game here out of Mile High. Chicago and Houston. It'll be Houston at home, minus 7, total 46. Sharp money on Houston from 3.5 all the way up to 7. It's telling you what they really think of the Bears. If you look into the statistics, they should not have won that game. Public on the Bears. Again, false. It's just not accurate. The Bears are not very good. You got to give them some time. I would lean towards Houston, but I'm not laying 7 in this game. I think maybe an under here. Maybe Houston just puts the clamps on the Bears and wins the game 31-10 or something like that. And then Monday Night Football, the Falcons at the Eagles. Eagles minus 6.5 now, up from 4. The total 47. I'm going over here. I think there'll be points in this game. I think Atlanta could have given up about 7 touchdowns last week, so don't fall for the fact that their defense is good. It was Steelers' offense. It stinks, and the Eagles will not have that problem. They will score in the red zone. They will get into the red zone more than once, that I can assure you. Over the 47, we will go in Monday Night Football. All right, let's get it over to college here. We still got a few more minutes left here. Better's Last Stand, show number 100. Here on the Watchdog, as we get ready to bring you high school football action in the 6 o'clock hour, it will be the pregame show coming up a little bit after 6. It'll be myself, Jeff, Chris, and Jubb, and then we'll send it out to Coach Luke and Nick over at Musselman as they host Wheeling Park, and then over at Bishop Schmidt Field, it'll be Soup and Luke Cooper on the call for Wheeling Central in Williamstown, and then Coach Heinerman, Coach Trevarian Ross on the call over at Cameron and St. Mary's in a good game as they we have Cameron football this week in place of John Marshall. All right, Friday night college football. Sharp money on the over in the Kansas and UNLV game. Kansas has struggled. They lost their offensive coordinator. Probably not a lot of people realize that. They've not been able to put the points up like they had been last year. I'm going under 58, the Jayhawks and the Rebels on Friday night. Also a Friday night game, Arizona State at Kansas State. 7.5 the spread here. It'll be K-State minus the points at home. Total 58. While I think K-State's an okay team, I don't think they're that great. I'll take the points with Arizona State here, plus a touchdown at least. I'm getting 7.5. I'll gladly take that. I think Arizona State. I was looking at Kansas State. It's Arizona, the Wildcats, the actual Arizona Wildcats. Man, I've made a lot of blunders today, so apologies for that. Lots of data going on here in the brain. But K-State hosting Arizona, will go with Arizona plus the 7.5. Arizona's played pretty well despite having a new coach. All right, Saturday's games. Here we go. Here's some games that I'm interested in. The Alabama Crimson Tide at the Wisconsin Badgers. It'll be Alabama minus 16 on the road. Total 50.5. Sharp money on Bama here. I like the team total of Alabama over. I saw some 30.5s out there. I think I would play it up to 31.5. I like Alabama in the first quarter. I think you're getting a good price there at just minus 3. And then the first half. Now, Bama didn't get their first quarter last week, but that's okay. And then 8.5 for the first half for Alabama. I was not a Wisconsin guy last year. I thought people were jumping the gun on Luke Fickell about how good he would make them, how fast. And I came around a little bit. I thought year two, maybe it's the time to be on Wisconsin. Well, it hasn't been to me. They haven't looked very good. So I'm a little worried about the win total there. I'm a little worried about this game for them, but that's okay because I'm going to be on Bama. Quarter and half in team total over. I think the Crimson Tide take care of business pretty easily here. up in Madison. Memphis in Florida State. Florida State minus 6.5, total 52. Don't understand how they're giving points to anybody. It opened at 5, up to 6.5. People are waiting for Florida State to snap their fingers and turn back into last year's team, which really wasn't very good anyway. So I'll be taking Memphis on the money line. Sharp money showing on the money line. You don't see that a ton, at least this early in the week. 220 on that money line. I'll take Memphis, take them plus the points, take them on the money line. Memphis probably wins this game outright. Oklahoma State, Tulsa. They're at Tulsa. Land 20.5, up to 21 in some spots. 62.5 is the total here. Be aware, this is a look-ahead spot for them. They know they'll probably beat Tulsa. They're going to go through the motions. They're going to try to get out of here without any injuries. They host Utah next week in a game that will probably decide the Big 12, at least the regular season. I like Tulsa in the game. I don't love Tulsa by any means. I also like the under a little bit. Some early action on the under as well, 62.5. So we're going to go with Tulsa, hoping that Oklahoma State is looking ahead a little bit. Cincinnati looking to get back after it after a pitiful performance. Blown lead against Pitt. Give up 15 in the fourth quarter and lose the game outright. Inexcusable. We'll go with the Bearcats here. -3 on the road at Miami of Ohio. I hope they can get it done, so let's go Bearcats. Central Michigan and Illinois, the Fighting Illini hosting the Chippewas. Illini -18. It's weird. A lot of money showing up on Central Michigan. It's mostly from the public side, which is strange. Numbers down to 18, which would signify that sharp money's on them. I don't know. This is a weird game to me. I have no play, but I wanted to at least point that out, that Central Michigan somehow is taking money, catching almost 3 touchdowns on the road. NC State Wolfpack hosts Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. NC State after a complete beatdown at home by Tennessee. They're laying 21 here. Sharp money showing on the Wolfpack. I will be passing on that game for sure. It would be Louisiana Tech or pass for sure for me. LSU on the road to South Carolina. LSU -7. The total 50.5. Sharp money on the over in this contest. I can see that. South Carolina off a big win against Kentucky last week. An upset win. I think this is a bad spot for them. I like LSU minus the points. I think South Carolina is still celebrating last week's win. And I think they're in trouble here. Arkansas State at Michigan. They will go to the big house. I doubt they have the success that Texas had. Michigan -23.5. Total 47.5. No play for me on that one. Boston College at Missouri. Missouri -17. The total 54. Both these teams taking some interest in the top 25s here. I'm still not sold on either one of these teams. Missouri was very good last year. I think they lost a lot. Good receiving core. Talented offense. Perhaps an over in this game, but no real play for me there. UMass at Buffalo, no play on that one. Coastal Carolina at Temple. Coastal open 16, up to 18.5. I'm leaning Coastal there. Some sharp money showing. Temple, very, very poor team. Oregon Ducks at the Oregon State Beavers. Oh, man, the old rivalry game. This would usually happen over Thanksgiving weekend, but now they're not in the same conference anymore. It'll be the Ducks -16, up from the opener of -14. The total 50. I'm leaning Oregon State here. I've not been impressed with the Oregon Ducks here, and Oregon State's been playing a little better than people think, so we'll take the points. I think I'll get 17 eventually out of that, and I'll be happy to have that. West Virginia at Pitt, the backyard brawl. West Virginia laying 3 on the road. Are you kidding me? Pitt off a huge win, so that's a bad spot for them. I really don't know what to think about this game. Both these teams desperately need it for their win totals, for their seasons. Big rivalry. I'm going under 60.5, thinking it'll be a really closely played, strategized game by Narduzzi and Neil Brown. Could be a loser leaves town kind of match, because the season could come apart for the loser. Texas A&M at Florida. A&M -4 on the road, total 47. A&M should not be giving points to anybody here. I don't think Florida's very good, but I think A&M's just as bad or worse. I'll go under 47 here and a lean towards Florida. I think that'll be a low-scoring, bad offense game. Washington State and Washington, another game, should be played over the Thanksgiving weekend. Won't be anymore because they're not in the same conference. Huskies -4.5 at home, total 56. Public money on Washington here, so I'd lean a little bit Washington State, but no real play. Miami and Ball State, sharp money on Miami, laying 36.5. I have no play here. You know who I'm rooting for. Tulane at Oklahoma. Oklahoma -13.5, total 47.5. I liked Tulane's point total a little bit under the 17.5. Oklahoma showing they got a pretty good defense. But I've seen some contrary reports that people were some sharp money showing on Tulane. So I'm a little bit worried about that. So we'll go under in the game, under the 47.5 total in the game. Sooners and the Green Wave. Nevada Wolfpack at the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Gophers -16.5, up from the opener of 14. Total 43.5. Public money on the over in this one. I don't know how you bet PJ Fleck over, but Dare if you choose. I will not be. Notre Dame at Purdue. All Notre Dame. Terrible performance last week. Laying 10 on the road at the Boilermakers. 45.5 is the total. There's just a chance that Notre Dame's just not very good. They didn't look very good against Texas A&M to me. I believe Purdue has won or lost the last eight. Yes, they've lost the last eight in this series. So, yikes. Could be a bad one. Notre Dame probably wins. They did go down, though, from the opening line of 12.5 down to 10. So, some people definitely a little bit worried about the Irish here. Sharp money on the under. Maybe that's a play. Troy at Iowa. Iowa minus 22.5 and a total that's 39. Iowa blows it against Iowa State last week. The public was on the over in this game. What are these people thinking? They see 30s. They got to play it over. No way I'm doing that. But I think Iowa might just kill Troy. Troy stinks. I can see this being like 36-0. Iowa maybe staying under. They still cover. Arkansas, UAB. Arkansas up from 21, the opener, to 24 now against UAB. Total 60.5. No real play on that one for me. Utah at Utah State. This was another one. This is the other side of that look-ahead spot. Utah going to a rival Utah State. They're just going to want to get out of there. Cam Rising might not even play. They're laying 20. I got to take Utah State because Utah goes to Stillwater next week in the Big 12 showdown against Oklahoma State. So we'll be going with the Aggies in this one. UTEP at Liberty. I'm only pointing this one out. Liberty up from 21 to 23.5. The public is on UTEP, though, and I don't really follow that. Duke in Connecticut. It'll be Connecticut catching 17 on the road at Duke. Opened at 15. Total 48. No play for me on that one. Ole Miss at Wake Forest. This is going to be my best bet of the week. The Ole Miss Rebels, they are an offensive juggernaut. They have players from all over the place. Their transfer portal is just exploding with Ole Miss Rebel transfers. 23.5 they lay. If you can get that, if you can get better than 24, it's even better. But I probably would play this up to almost 27. Ole Miss pounds Wake Forest, minus 23.5 on the road. I really think this is going to be an absolute bloodbath. So go Rebels on the road at Wake Forest. Another game that we're interested in, South Florida at Southern Miss. South Florida minus 11.5, total 57.5 in this one. Sharp money showing on South Florida here. They look like they might be pretty decent, but off of an emotional loss, a game that they were in a little bit, tough to go back on the road and cover this, but they're much better than Southern Miss, so probably a good spot there. Sam Houston State, the Bearcats, everybody's new darling here. They're minus 2.5 on the opener, up to 4.5 now against Hawaii. I would lean that way, but no official play for me there. Mississippi State hosting Toledo, the Rockets at the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs minus 11.5, up from the opener of 9.5 there, so some line movement there. I can't bet Mississippi State. Just can't do it. New Mexico Lobos on the road at the Auburn Tigers. Auburn upset at home last week. Now they're laying 28.5 again, and the public is on New Mexico. That ought to tell you to bet Auburn. So that's a recommendation, but not an official play. Baylor hosting Air Force. Baylor minus 15.5. The total 41.5. I like this game under. Aranda seems to have a decent defense at Baylor, and they surprised me a little bit last week, but Utah had some issues. A quarterback got hurt, things like that. So game we had over ended up being under. We'll go back to the under with Baylor this week, under 41.5. UCF at TCU. Interesting flip here. TCU opened the 2-point favorite. Now it's UCF minus 2 on the road. I'd lean Horned Frogs here. I can't play UCF outside of their home stadium. They just don't travel well. Georgia at Kentucky. Kentucky, terrible loss last week. Georgia minus 24 on the road. Total 45. This could be all Bulldogs all the time. Bulldogs in the quarter, Bulldogs in the half. But you look, Kentucky was definitely looking ahead last week. So maybe the back off a little. I don't have an official play on it, but to me, Georgia just might be too good. But you can see Kentucky, obviously, they thought they'd win, go through the motions, and be ready for Georgia in a big showdown. Well, it didn't work out that way. They already lost. So they're pretty much eliminated from the playoffs. Indiana at UCLA. Indiana, a team we're high on. We had the win total over for them. They have not played up to standards quite yet. Total 46.5. They lay 3 on the road at UCLA. But we'll go back to the Hoosiers on the road, hoping they can get the job done out in Los Angeles. Kent State and Tennessee. Tennessee laying 49. The total 63. Sharp money on the Volunteers. They looked great last week against a subpar opponent, of course. But Tennessee, a team to keep an eye on. They are a little better than I thought, but I got to see them against somebody better than NC State. So, nonetheless, Tennessee looking pretty strong, a playoff contender. Maryland at Virginia. Coach loved Maryland last week against Michigan State. Well, they lost at home. I'm going to go with the Terps this week against Virginia, who squeaked by a 1-point win last week. So I think this is a tough spot for Virginia, coming, getting back up off of a big win. Maryland going on the road, a little less pressure on them. I'll take Maryland minus the 3 on the road against Virginia. BYU at Wyoming. This opened BYU minus 8.5, 11.5. It is now 39.5 the total. Of course, we had the Cougars on Friday night, an outright winner, but I don't like them here. I'm going to go with Wyoming. I think this is a spot where Wyoming maybe just sneaks around, hangs in this game long enough. It's a tough place to play out there in Laramie at the altitude. I'll take Wyoming plus the points. That line could continue to go up. But BYU, pretty quality team. I think they still probably win this game, but maybe not cover the spread. New Mexico State, Fresno State. Fresno minus 20, total 47.5. No play on that one. And then the finale, the 10:30 kick. San Diego State at the Cal Golden Bears. We are high on the Cal Golden Bears. I'm telling you right now, I think that's a game Miami will lose when they head out there. So circle that one. Cal Bears minus 19, the total 48. But I'm on San Diego State here. San Diego State has not looked good the first 2 weeks. Sharp money on the over in this contest. But I think Cal coming off that big win at Auburn last week, they got to travel all the way back home. And I think this is a spot where they could get caught a little flat-footed, a little reading the press clippings kind of stuff, smelling themselves. I like the Aztecs to hang in and cover the 20 or plus odd points there against the Golden Bears. All right, well, that'll do it for the college football part of the card. And as you continue to push on here in college football season here with the 12-team playoff, you pretty much have identified how many teams can get in here. So you almost have 8 guaranteed teams. So we'll see how it shakes out, see how things go in the future. That's going to do it for us here on Bettors Last Stand. Another 100 shows hopefully ahead here on show number 100 on the Watchdog Network. We appreciate you tuning in as you get ready for pregame action for the high school football that's coming your way tonight on a Football Friday presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club here on the Watchdog. Wheeling Park in action on the road, Wheeling Central at home, and then we have a nice add-on game as Cameron takes on St. Mary's. You can hear all those, watchdognetwork.com. This show brought to you by the Brownie House as well. Visit yesbrownies.com today for 20% off your order. Use the promo code PINEROOM. Check out pineroomstudios.com for all the things we had going on the radio this week and the things to come, our blog page, all the other things going on with the Pine Room, watchdognetwork.com as well. And we will see you next week here on another episode of Bettors Last Stand. Enjoy the high school football tonight on the Watchdog, and we shall see you next week. Have a safe and happy weekend. Good luck with your wagers, and we thank you all for tuning in on a Football Friday on the Watchdog.